Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
Good morning. This is John Williams. How are you? It's a Friday. The weekend is here. The weather is going to be so warm. Hope you enjoy that. You will be setting your clocks forward. You heard Bob and Dave and the gang talk a little bit about that. I was out with my sons and Brenda, my wife, and my daughter-in-law, Nikki. We were at Marie's Pizza last night on Lawrence, north part of Chicago. We like Marie's. On Thursday night, they have jazz. So we're sitting there listening to some swell jazz and having some pizza and pasta and salads and drinking some beer and just having a swell time. Nikki says, I hear that they're going to get rid of daylight savings. I said, I would have heard about that. But then everybody goes to their phones to see if they can find a story about that. And sure enough, there's some chatter out there about in Illinois, they're getting rid of daylight savings. Got in the elevator this morning. Two other ladies stepped in with me early as we're coming up to work. Doors closed. We don't know each other. And the one says to all of us, I hear they're getting rid of daylight savings. People are thinking about this. And I'm always confused about this conversation because, okay, we're about to spring forward. So it's going to be light later, which we all like. And that's the good thing that they want to preserve. In the fall, when we fall back, then it's dark earlier. And the idea is that that makes it more difficult for people to shop. People don't want to go out and engage in commerce because it's dark now. Hadn't thought about that, what with headlights and all, but that's what they say. So if in the fall, say when it's 5:30 and it's starting to get dark, and then we fall back and now it's 4:30, and so by the time it's 5:30, it's really dark. I hope you're still with me. If we didn't do that, if we just kept going, then it would be light, if you will, at least a little longer. We're not falling back. We're not cutting off an hour of daylight. Mm-hmm. So that's when you would really notice it. And I'm just wondering what team you're on. I love the fall back thing because that's a 25-hour day and you get to sleep in. That's the best weekend and Monday of the year. But I get the idea of wanting more daylight on the back half of your day. So that's where the great minds in Springfield are on this issue right now.
I always thought part of it, too, was that when they go to daylight, when they go to standard time, then kids coming home from school and after-school activities are doing so in dusk or dark.
But what about in the morning?
That's it. I mean, there's only so many hours. If they were really smart, they would increase the amount of daylight during the day.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Talk about, hello. Yeah. When I get to be king, 23 hours of daylight. It will be like sweet.
There are parts of the world where you get that.
Actually, that's not such a great thing either. What was that, Producer Elif? You said nothing something? Oh, no kidding. Hey, Orion, jump in there. How are you? Oh,
well,
I thought you were going to say farmers care a lot about this, right, O?
Not anymore. They used to. Not anymore. And, of course, the history on this is it started in World War II to conserve energy.
Right.
And that's when they started daylight saving time. But my dad, who was a farmer, had the best description of daylight saving time I've heard. It's like cutting a foot off the bottom of the blanket and sewing it on top of that's the blanket to make it longer.
See,
it doesn't. We can't make sunshine.
If you know someone who's going to try and afford college down the road, how should they borrow money? In whose name? In what order? From what kind of agencies? Wish they would have told me that a long time ago. Ray's going to come on at 10:30. One of our listeners walked into her office the other day, $300,000 in student debt. $300,000 in student debt, and the payments were thousands of dollars. Ray got it down to a couple hundred dollars. And you don't declare bankruptcy, and it's the laws, the rules, and the regulations to keep you from burdensome debt. I didn't write the laws. It's a service to you to know this. She's going to join us at 10:35. In the meantime, visit financialrelief.com, financialrelief.com, or call 312-294-8989.
Watch for Chicago's very own Stories with Micah and Joe, Micah Mater and Joe Donlin, weeknights on WGN TV News at 9.
The news click at WGNradio.com, sponsored by AARP. Visit AARP.org/Chicago To find out about free events and opportunities to volunteer near you, NewsClick today is going to be, which side are you on? Do you want daylight savings time? Do you want to fall back in the fall? Or do you want to leave it the way it is in the fall? Where do you want that, as Orion Samuelson said, extra hour of daylight? How did you put it? Oh, extra foot of blankie?
Well, you cut a foot off the bottom of the blanket and sew it on top of the blanket to make it longer, and it really doesn't.
That's a beautiful analogy, O. But I thought the farmers, didn't the farmers like this? Wasn't it to get them more daylight in the morning so they could do their work? Was that the idea?
Well, yeah, that was the big idea, was to conserve power and energy during World War II, because they would make the days longer from the standpoint of being able to do outside work. And but that went away a long time ago, so... from the standpoint of they're really liking it or wanting it.
The Illinois Senate approved legislation this year to make daylight savings time permanent. The measure still needs approval from the Illinois House. It's a concern of people in cities that are near the border. So in St. Louis, where you've got a lot of people, obviously in Missouri, but who also live in Illinois, so they're wondering, will the two clocks or times jive? I guess we have a little bit of that in Indiana, since they're in the Eastern time zone. Around three dozen states introduced legislation last year to do away with seasonal time changes. Hawaii and Arizona are the only states that do not use the daylight savings time. So we do. We want to get rid of it. And again, that wouldn't affect us so much right now, but in the fall, right, this is when we'd really notice it. In the morning, say, when maybe the kids are getting up and it's light to go to school, it'll be dark. This is Mary Vandeveld's concern. It'll be dark when they go to school in the early morning. And by the way, sometimes that's dangerous because you've got buses, traffic, kids standing around, walking around traffic, trying to get to school in the dark.
Yeah, there's more kids going to school in the morning than coming home later at night. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that. I mean, it's, you know, you rob Peter to pay Paul, though, because it gets dark so early, 4:30, say. Plenty of kids are still coming to and from school, practice activities at 4:30 in the afternoon. So, I don't know how.
And I remember walking to the country school that I attended in the dark because of the time change in World War II. And so that was an impact. It was totally dark when I would walk to school.
Let's go into the newsroom for a correction on my pronunciation. Steve Grzanich, go.
Yeah, it's daylight saving time.
I can't fix that. I'm going to say savings.
You and a half the population of the world.
There's two kinds of people in the world. Those that say daylight savings, and the other group is the people that are really annoyed by that.
It's not an annoyance. It's just we want to be accurate.
Well, don't you, though?
That's part of my job.
I don't know why they hired me.
But it's daylights. Saving time.
Stop it, David.
You're not helping, Dave.
Sorry.
Two kinds of things you can say in the world. One of them's helping. It's 9:23. Okay, so we'll make our news click that. Orion, will you vote? And which side will you be on? Where do you want the hour of daylight, O?
Well, I want it the way it was, the way God intended it in my church. And you know, the changing of schedules for airlines and buses and trains and everything else, we would do away with that, because that's a chore for the transportation companies.
Well, Elif handed me a story about this, and she said that's the one thing everybody agrees on, is everybody agrees it's annoying.
Yes.
It's disruptive that way, but I think it's pretty universal that in the fall, you love setting the clock back. We all like that extra hour, right, O?
True.
I mean, but you can't have your cake and eat it too, I guess. George, what do you remember about this? You're on WGN. Hi, George.
Hello.
Hey.
What I'm calling about is we did that. We experimented with the daylight saving times in the 70s. And it was horrible going to work in the dark and coming home in the dark. And like you said, as far as kids going to school, it was dangerous in the dark, coming home in the dusk.
All right, George. So George wants to continue to do what we're doing, and that is spare him the hour in the morning. Joanne, you're on WGN. Thanks, George. Hey, Joanne, you're on the air.
Good morning. Yes, in the 70s when Nixon and his office changed the time, I was a crossing guard. And it's not fun. It's very scary, and I'm sure the parents, you know, counted many times on traffic lights and a crossing guard. But quite frankly, people want to get to work on time, and they're not paying a whole lot of attention.
Was that Nixon or was that Carter? Was it Carter or Nixon that, I mean?
I don't know. I'm old enough to know that either one was one of them.
Or was it Jefferson? The because I know that Carter instituted some energy-saving ideas, too. But either way, we've tried it before, and it sounds like it's not universally being approved of here. In the next hour, I want to talk to you just about something else that isn't the coronavirus, although we'll continue to follow that story. We'll visit with a spokesperson from United Airlines. Are you worried about getting on your airplane? What's that like? How clean is the airplane? People are leery about getting on cruise ships. I think some folks are leery about getting on aircraft as well. How many times have you flown this coronavirus season, Dave?
Well, let's see. What's it been, about 2 weeks or roughly? I think I've flown twice in that time.
It's domestic, though. You're just flying to Midwest.
And I was actually flying on a charter and on a regional jet that I know had not been overseas because it wouldn't fly overseas. So there is that. But you don't know who's been on the plane.
No. And they tell me they do a pretty good job of that. We'll talk to United in a little bit.
I think so.
It's 9:26. Back into the WGN Radio newsroom and the latest on all of that coming up. Also, you can text to 312-981-7200. Your answer to this question on Twitter, I follow Matt Walsh, and he said, is there any universally beloved person left in America besides Alex Trebek? Trebek's one-year anniversary of his announcement of cancer came up, and so he gave an update, and everybody's just been thinking and talking and feeling a little for Alex Trebek, who is much loved. He said, is there anybody that we love like that? Meghan McCain replied right away, Dolly Parton. And then people started to chime in. And one name from Chicago came up a lot, which was nice to see. Who do you think the Chicagoan is in this thread? That it goes to the thousands. Time and time again, this name comes up. And it's a little surprising to me. Who's the Chicagoan that is universally loved, according to Twitter, on a par with the Dolly Parton? Or
still
whatever.
Alive?
Yes.
Oh, I was going to say Walter.
Currently living here or living somewhere else?
Currently living...
Oprah?
It's not Oprah.
Okay.
It's not Michael Jordan.
Is it Barack Obama?
Oh, that's a good... No, it is not. Hmm. But I would also say universally is the operative word here, right? Some people really love, and I'm sorry, some people do not really love the Obamas. This person, though, is... A little surprise. I'll give you the answer
Richard
after
Daly.
The news.
Was it Richard Daly?
It is. It is not. I'll give you the answer, and then you can chime in, too. Who's on that scale? Who is somebody that we can go, oh, they're still our guy or our gal? 312-981-7200. Text me that, and I'll let you know what this, you'll agree with, surprising Chicago name is. One last time now, this edition of the John Williams Show, sponsored by a new sponsor, Eurelium Life 9000.
The news is getting me down lately. Some days are good, some days are bad, but wow.
Political talk, health and financial scares make it tough to listen to the radio these days.
Yesterday, I screamed at a friend about the elections, and my 401k went way down. And that was one of the good days.
Sounds like you could use some Eurelium Life 9000.
Eurelium. Did the Chinese make that in their secret bioweapons lab?
Nope. Eurelium Life 9000 is an all-natural wonder drug made by an ethnically blended group of scientists wearing white lab coats in New Jersey.
Can I light some up in a big old bong on my cousin's front porch?
In Illinois, now you can. Or take it as a liquid, powder, pill, capsule, tablet, eye drop, nasal mist, earburst, ointment, cream, time-release arm patch, chewable briquettes, tuna fun bites, menthol-scented suppository, or use our brand new, highly experimental home epidural kit.
Nah, I'll just smoke it.
The briquettes now have 20% more fiber.
Are they gluten-free?
They are.
Nah, I'll just pack some in a big old bong and smoke it on my cousin's front porch.
Use Eurelium Life 9000 if you're stressed about the economy.
Ding.
Health news.
Bing.
Financial news.
Bong.
Don't take Eurelium Life 9000 if you are allergic to Eurelium Life 9000. Can't believe we got to say that, but there you go.
Wait, I'm writing this down. Don't take.
Side effects include dry mouth and tuberculosis.
Do we get to pick?
Other complications may include and may not be limited to runny nose, abdominal pain, and a woman in Kentucky started speaking Dutch.
Is this commercial longer than the Cars for Kids ad?
This commercial for Eurelium Life 9000 is now over.
Wouldn't have rerun it, but those tuna fun bites are really yummy. It's 9:41 on WGN. So who is that person, according to Twitter? Somebody posted on the heels of Alex Trebek recollecting that it's been 1 year since he announced he has cancer. And so then the guy says, is there anybody more universally loved? In fact, do we even have any more Alex Trebeks in the world? And then Meghan McCain on Twitter responds, and she goes, how about Dolly Parton? I follow both of them, and now I'm looking at a 1,000-person-long thread. And I thought it was very interesting that one of the names that came up frequently, right away, was a Chicagoan, universally loved. Diana, you think you know who it is? You're on WGN. Hi.
Hi. My guess is maybe more pertaining to Illinois, but Jesse White?
It is not Jesse White.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for the call. So Dave Ennett got it right away. Dave Ennett got it right away!
Dave Ennett, you gave me a clue.
Oh, okay, I'll give the clue to the whole room. Mary, Steve, Ella, if you can play along if you like. It's an actor. Okay, now who would it be? I don't think this is easy. I've been bragging that it is. I don't think it is. Who is it, Dave?
Gary Sinise.
Yes.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Ah, really?
I couldn't I couldn't get his name out, but I was Forrest Gump.
I know, that's it. Mary, a lot of people put Lieutenant Dan.
Yeah, Lieutenant Dan.
So Gary Sinise, and then you go, yeah, you know, he is a good guy because he does a lot of work for veterans.
A ton.
He's musical, he's local, he was, you know, sometimes not the star of movies. He's been a starring person too, but always a solid performance.
And John Mahoney was along those lines.
Oh, God, put Mahoney on that list.
Mm-hmm. So Gary Sinise lives here? Does he live here permanently?
I don't know. Well, when you asked, I said, no, I don't think the person lives in Chicago now. Hmm. I presume he's in California. You know who, though? If you just ask Chicagoans, the Gary Sinise, the Tom Hanks of Chicago is Tom Skilling. I mean, who's more universally liked in this city than Tom Skilling? Lou Manfredini? I'm not kidding. I think Lou is really universally loved. He's positive he helps people. Tom Skilling is positive he helps people. I put those two on any list of Chicagoans that are universally revered right now. Not the coach of the Bulls. You can go.
What about Mike Ditka?
I don't think so anymore. Hmm. I mean, because, you know, frankly, Ditka got a little political, and if you go either way, I don't think Barack Obama's on that list for the same reason. A lot of affection for Barack Obama, but not universally. Put it this way, I don't think Barack Obama has the universal acclaim in this country that Tom Hanks does. Nobody's ticked at Tom Hanks. They don't go around saying, thanks a lot, Hanks, but they do Obama. So who else is on that list? Here's what you're texting in. Bill Murray. Bizarre, but loved. Jimmy Carter, Bill Curtis, Ronnie Woo-Woo. Not so sure Ronnie Woo's on that list.
Not be unanimous.
When was the last time we heard from Ronnie Woo?
Wasn't he outside
Lagos
home?
Yes, he was. You just went down 2 points, Ronnie. You're calling and texting. Excuse me, you're calling and texting 312-981-7200. Who's that person like Pat Sajak, like Alex Trebek? Like Bill Murray, like Gary Sinise, that is universally loved across the country, or for that matter, in Chicago. And I said, well, you got yourself your Tom Skilling, you got yourself your Lou Manfredini, and now I'm getting a flood of text messages from people saying, hello, you just got done talking to him, Orion Samuelson, the big O, same thing, helpful, nice, positive, loved and liked. Props to you. Oh, apologies for not even thinking of you out of the gate. Shame on me.
Oh, I thought of him right away.
Yeah, Steve. Yeah, go ahead. Chime in now. Bob Newhart, Vince Vaughn. Yeah, so well done. And then some of them not necessarily universally agreed upon. Here's one for Rush Limbaugh. You may love him, but universal is the word we're looking for here. And so that's not universal. Somebody said, hey, that commercial for Eurelium Life 9000, your new sponsor doesn't have a website or phone number. Yeah, we'll have to work on that. If you want to order it by mail, how do you get it? I'll work on that. It's 9:49. Charles, now I need the last name, Producer Elif, Hobart is a spokesperson for United Airlines. Just before we walked into the studio, he and I had time together to talk a little bit about coronavirus and what it's doing to the airlines. And I asked him about what length they go to clean the airplanes one flight to another.
So our current cleaning procedures for international aircraft cleanings include a wipe down of hard surfaces touched by customers. And the cleaning solution we use, it includes a disinfectant, which is a precaution we implemented after the 2014 Ebola outbreak. So it's important to note that we take the lessons we've learned from previous incidents and previous crises, such as the Ebola outbreak, and we apply that to future challenges like what we're seeing right now. In the case of a confirmed diagnosis, any impacted aircraft will immediately undergo a deep cleaning, and that includes washing the ceilings and overhead bins, scrubbing the interior of the aircraft, and just ensuring that it's fully disinfected. Now, we're going to continue to communicate with the CDC and assign deeper cleaning measures depending on the agency's recommendations, and they regularly put out new guidelines to the carriers like United to help ensure that we're doing the right thing and taking the right approach.
We read a thing on the radio yesterday from the World Health Organization, and it talked about the quality of the air in airplanes, and they described the filtration system in most modern aircraft as equivalent to what you would find in an operating room, that the particles, the viruses, the bacteria are regularly filtered out.
Yeah, it is a sophisticated air filtration system. It's comparable to what hospitals use. We use the same sort of HEPA filters. That's what it's called, HEPA. And that sort of cabin air filtration system we have on all of our fleets of aircraft. And that helps ensure that air is clean and it is circulated and folks are safe on board.
Any layoffs expected as a result of this?
Right now we are offering all of our employees, both frontline employees that you see at the airport and management employees here in Chicago, the opportunity to take a voluntary unpaid leave of absence. We're going to kind of take a look at how many employees request that. We do believe we will see a high number of employees requesting that voluntary paid leave option. But until we get those numbers back, we're going to be unsure in terms of how deeply we will implement that. But right now, we do not have plans to, cut into the muscle of our workforce.
Voluntary paid leave, they will get paid?
Excuse me, voluntary unpaid leave.
Yeah, sure. And I guess the attraction to that is...
Well, I think it's important to keep in mind that a lot of our frontline employees, this is a second job for them. They work on a part-time basis, and a lot of them have been in this industry for quite a while. I think a lot of people understand here at United that this is a volatile industry. There can be some instability in commercial aviation. Historically, that's been the case. And I think a lot of our veteran employees understand that. They have prepared for that throughout their careers. And this isn't unusual. It's infrequent, but it isn't unusual in this business. So this is an option that we are going to provide to our frontline employees and our management employees here at the Willis Tower and see what the response is going to be like. But we do believe that we will get the right numbers of employees requesting this option, and we think it's very unlikely that we won't meet whatever threshold we feel is necessary to operate efficiently and have the right number of employees available to serve our customers and operate these aircraft.
So hopefully that comes in lieu then of having to institute mandatory layoffs, huh?
Right. We are certainly not there.
That's Charles Hobart. He spoke to us just a little bit before we were able to go on the air today. He couldn't join us live, but there's a few details from that conversation. Good to know. 9:54 on WGN. We asked you to tell us who is universally liked. There was a Twitter thread that was working last night wishing Pat Sajak's name comes up in this, Alex Trebek well. Who else is as universally loved as him? Somebody said Dolly Parton. Somebody said Tom Hanks. Somebody just texted in, Ed Burke. Now you're just being silly. John, it's unbelievable how unprepared this country is for a health crisis that they knew was coming months ago. John, among the universally loved, who doesn't love Mr. T? Mr. T's a fun name because he was really fun. He was really popular. He was really Chicago guy. And then he really cut down all the trees in a great big lot. And then people really didn't like him so much. And he's gone now, right? I mean, he's alive, but he's... When's the last time Mr. T did anything? You know, he's not on Dancing with the Stars. He hasn't popped up anywhere, has he?
I haven't seen him lately, but he does live in the... He lived in Andrea Darlis's building.
That does ring a bell.
Yeah, she used to call Angie.
Angela.
Remember? Angela, yeah. He used to call her Angela.
Really? Did he talk like this?
Yeah.
Hey, Angela. I can't. Boy, I got to channel Mr. T. I pity the fool. I'll pity the fool. Wow. Brush with greatness there. John, I want to say Vince Vaughn. Here's a fun one from 847. Universally liked. John, I'd like to nominate myself to the list. My name is Craig. I'm from Woodstock.
I mean, I like Craig.
He's a good guy.
I do think so.
Does you know anybody that doesn't like Craig?
No,
of course you don't. And finally, Mary, you'll appreciate this. Parents of young children hate daylight saving time. I'd also like to shine a little light on myself. I just said daylight saving time. No extra S's. Don't want to brag. Universally liked, loved, and appreciated in Chicago. So, Tom Skilling, yeah. Lou Manfredini, you betcha. Orion Samuelson. Boy, you start to do this, and then some of them are conspicuously absent. Plenty of you are saying, John, Sister Jean. Sister Jean of Loyola, hello. Yeah. Couple for Dave Ennett, who, by the way, is not going to be universally liked Monday when he has to get up an hour earlier. Your alarm Monday morning will go off at the equivalent of what time?
It would be 2:20 today. But that's okay. I mean,
oh man.
Ennett doesn't really sleep anyway. His work schedule.
I know. That's what we say. Wait, he just did a game, or he just did the show.
Or he did the Channel 9 sports at night.
When I see you on TV, I always feel a little sad for you, Dave, because it just seems to me like it's a weekend and you should not be working right now.
I'm not sad.
I know you're not. That's why you're on the list with Sister Jean and Tom Skilling, for crying out loud.
I don't belong in that group.
Yes, you do. Morning, John Williams, WGN. It's Friday. Isn't that good news? Nice, warm weekend, unseasonably warm, although it seems like... It's more and more seasonable, these unseasonably warm days.
I think it's seasonal.
Don't make me say daylight savings time.
Seasonable is something you can put seasoning on.
So what did I say?
So you said unseasonable.
And it is?
Seasonal. Because it's the season. It's unlike the current season.
Well, this is really a good use of our time.
I'm sorry, but I'm just picking on you because I just get a kick out of the people get so upset about the daylight saving time thing.
To be clear, that's not you being one of those people. That's you parroting those people.
Sort of, yeah.
You should hold up a flag. It's 10:10 now on WGN. Hey, by the way, so we said, who's that universally liked person? Steve Bertrand, clearly on a list of some of you. But who is that universally liked person? And it became a part of the conversation on Twitter over the week, during this week, because the one-year anniversary of Alex Trebek announcing that, you know, he's suffering from and still surviving past, you know, what the odds are with the cancer that he has. And somebody said, you know, he's just such a universally liked person. Is there anybody else like that? Now the thread begins. And suddenly we're building a Chicago version of it. Somebody just texted into us, Rich Melman, Sister Jean. In fact, you know, Steve, it's almost going to work like brackets here, and I don't want to do this because they all deserve to win. Orion Samuelson, Lou Manfredini, Sister Jean, Tom Skilling, Dave Ennett. Somebody said Bozo, hello. So if you said, you know, living or deceased, I guess we could do that. But then you get Walter Payton in there and so on and so forth. Maybe I don't want to go into the sports world. Rich Melman, the Menards guy.
He's Wisconsin.
I love that guy, though, and I think he has family around here.
Oh, you mean, the current Menards guy?
No, I mean the guy with the glasses.
Yeah, the current
Menards!
I think the current Menards guy is from around here. We follow each other.
But the guy, you and I are talking about was a Wisconsin guy, and was a great guy. Very nice guy. You know that text that we read? I'd like to nominate myself to this list, John.
Oh, I'm Craig, sure.
Well, guess what? The next text says, I don't like Craig. He owes me money. That's what happens with Twitter.
I like Craig so much, I'll pay his bill.
So we talked to Jerry real quick about the time change. Hey, Jerry, you're on WGN. What can we do for you? Good morning.
Yeah, hi, John. I just wanted to comment something we talked about a month ago during football season. This is going to change football times in Chicago, too. So instead of the Bears being on at noon or 3, it's going to be 1 or 4. And it sounds minor, but for people that have been watching the games at noon and tailgating, going out to the bars, doing whatever, this is going to kind of mess that up.
Well, walk me through this now. So say it's November, and the Bears are playing on Saturday at noon, but because Sunday at noon, we fall back, so it's still noon. The game would be 1 o'clock then for us?
Well, yeah, because we're not falling back at all. We're going to be on New York time then.
Well, it would feel like 1 o'clock, but it would still be noon.
They would call it noon.
No, they would call it 1 o'clock.
See, this is why I hate this conversation.
Right. It's a rose by any other name. But no, the games, you'd say, all right, here we go, Bears game, noon. But actually, you get up, you go to church on Sunday, and then you say, all right, I'm headed home. I went to 9:30 Mass, so I can be home by the time that the Bears game gets on. It's not going to be on until 1 o'clock.
So wait a minute. If I go to church on Sundays at 9:30,
right,
I'll still go to church at 9:30, won't I?
Yeah, they're not going to change, but they won't change.
Because that's going to be called 9:30 Mass.
Well, because it will be 9:30.
Well, actually,
it'll be 10:30.
He's the lawyer. He can figure this out. He's scratching his head right now.
No, but it'd be 10:30.
You need a weekend badly, don't you?
It would be 10:30 light time, yeah. But I know this is who's on first, but
Here's the thing. But you're pretty confident that the start time of the Bears games, instead of being noon and 3, would be 1 and 4.
Right. I am pretty confident in that. You know, one of my cousins who's pretty smart and is a huge sports fan. They were bandying this about. And we're going to and see what will happen is you're going to look at the schedule and it's going to say 1 o'clock and it'll be on Fox, on channel 12 or 32, which is where the Bears normally are. So you'll look on there and you'll say, all right, the Bears start at 1 today. And to me, that's a little bit too late.
So
that was
because
like Johnny Carson in New York used to start at 11:30.
Right. I know. That's crazy to me.
So you're saying because we would then be the equivalent of Eastern time. Then Eastern time games started 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
By on the clock, they start at 1 o'clock.
Oh, okay. I got to go. But listen, if you get a chance, don't ever call here again, okay?
He might have just won me over.
Thanks for the call. If you can confirm that, I don't know. Call me. Okay, so I'll tell you what. This is perspective I didn't have. We're talking about this bill in the legislature in Springfield, and it's passed, I think, the House. It's before the Senate. It's from a representative in Belleville originally. That's near St. Louis, which is in Missouri. And the two states want the times to be the same. And if Illinois doesn't stay on daylight saving time, then they won't be the same for part of the year. So they're worried about it down there. Maybe as much or more than we are up here. But the perspective I'm gaining is that if this changes the time of our TV shows, that changes the time of your life. I mean, really, that's how we live, according to the NFL schedule and the evening news and whatever. I mean, if we're the equivalent of Eastern time, then that would be different, I think. I've just got a little teeny brain for this.
You know that weird conversation you just had with the caller?
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Right. I just had a very similar one with Steve Grzanich in here, and I think they're probably happening everywhere right now where we're all talking in circles about it's crazy.
So if it's Eastern time, but so it we're not feels changing, like it, Central time.
We're not changing time zones, but we would be on the Eastern time frame.
I don't think that matters because let me read this commercial. They're Chicago, and they're real. Watch Dan Ponce, Lauren Jiggetts, Larry Potash, and Robin Baumgarten get real in the morning with the WGN TV morning news team weekdays from 4 to 10, or would that be 3 to 9? I'm not sure. Information exposed in a data breach at MGM Resorts, a major resort chain, recently was discovered on a popular hacking site. Over 10 million guests had their names, home and email addresses, birth dates, all exposed. With that information from these data breaches, criminals can commit identity theft for months or years. It's important to understand how cybercrime is affecting you. Identity theft happens every 2 seconds, and you could miss certain threats if you're just, say, monitoring your credit. Good thing there's LifeLock. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the internet. They do that. If there's a problem, their agents will work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock sees threats you might miss on your own. You feel a little vulnerable these days? Join now and save up to 25% off your first year with the promo code LifeLock. So call 1-800-LIFELOCK or visit LifeLock.com. What's the promo code? It's LifeLock for 25% off. Hey, Bill, you're on WGN. Thanks for calling. What can I do for you?
Yeah, I wanted to call and support the guy talking about the football at 1 and whatever, because everybody knows that you see your advertisement on TV, this show is on at 10 Eastern, 9 Central. Well, if we permanently keep daylight time for that part of the year, we're going to be on 10 Eastern time. And then the 10 o'clock news will be on at 11, because that's how the time changes work.
You know what, you're right.
Unless
you know,
they went to,
yeah, keep going.
Yeah, and then the other thing that bothers me is you get home from work during the whatever, you're going to lose an hour of daylight because you're going to have daylight earlier in the day, and you're going to get home, and maybe in November you could still go out and get something done after you get home and work while it's still light out, but that'll go away. Yeah, so you'll be, being able to be out in the light. It's going to go away. It's going to be darker earlier. So it's, this whole thing is absurd. I don't know why they think it's so great to have this change, because you have the inconvenience of losing an hour's sleep now and then gaining it back in the fall. Whoop-de-doo. And you got to change your clock. I mean, what the hell?
Would you do the...
This is terrible.
Do the whoop-de-doo for me one more time, will you, Bill?
Whoop-de-doo. This is just silly.
This is the March version of every gas station has to have an attendant.
Only I think this one's going to pass.
Yeah, not that again.
Thank you for the call, Bill.
I'm losing 2 hours, John, because I'm getting up to go to Florida on Sunday morning. So I'm flying early Saturday, Sunday morning. So I'm going to lose an hour overnight, and then Florida is an hour ahead. So that's 2 hours for me, right?
No.
What do you mean?
Because nobody can lose 2 hours.
Well, and I'm kind of going to in a, overnight, because the next morning it'll be an hour ahead, and I just lost an hour overnight, so then I'm losing another one.
I think you will just catch up with them.
I come back, it'll catch up, but it's 2 hours of my vacation.
No, I get that, but I mean, even when you go there, I thought you would just catch up with... I'm saying these words, I really don't know what they mean.
It's very confusing.
But I do understand, I think, the previous point from the last two callers that sporting events will now be later for us, because those are live events happening. Say the Bears are playing on the East Coast or whatever, or wherever they're playing. I don't know if that matters, but that's a live event. It's not like you can schedule it for a more convenient time or move it. It's happening. It's a live event on the field. And... help. Instead of that being at noon, it's now going to be at 1. Sorry, I had it, and now it's gone. In Springfield, they're considering. It's passed one of the houses. It's before the Senate. We reached out to the Senate sponsor. No luck yet. I think she overslept. It's 10:23 on WGN. I see that Ray Kaplan is sitting in the producer bay by producer Elif. She'll join us in the studio after 10:30. Ray frequently comes on to talk about how to manage money that you have borrowed, and now you have enormous student debt, right? That's Ray's specialty. She's an attorney, and if you have got a lot of college debt, a lot of student debt, How do you pay that off? And for some of you, it's $25,000. For some of you, it's $250,000. There's rules and regulations on how you pay that off. But I asked Ray to come in today. If you know somebody for whom this applies, get them to listen right now. She's going to join us in about 15 minutes. But if you're going to borrow money for college, in whose name should you borrow it? The students or the adults? The wage earner or the non-wage earner? Should you go to the bank first or should you go to the government first? In what order and from whom do you borrow money if you're going to go to college? Elif says go to line one. Okay. That's coming your way at 10:33. It's 10:24. So I think that's in 9 minutes, but with the switch, I'm not sure. Lynn, you're on WGN. Hello.
Hey. So I just had a question about the time zone thing, because I think the suggestion, it would impact our daylight in the morning and evening, but it would not put us as part of the Eastern time zone, right? We'd still be Central time zone. So I think we'd still be a 12 o'clock game because we're still going to be, you know what?
But the rest
maybe
of the Central,
I'm thinking about it wrong.
The rest of the Central time zone would leave us if they don't switch.
So we would be part of the Eastern time zone.
Go ahead, Steve. You bet.
I don't know the answer. I'm just posing the question to add more confusion,
well,
I guess, to the topic.
Think of it this way. If Iowa stayed on their schedule and they switched and we didn't stay on our schedule and we didn't switch, we then would be on the – we'd have the same time as the Eastern time zone.
That doesn't help me one bit. But that's me. I mean, I shouldn't say that, Steve, because I think that was helpful to some people.
Yeah, okay. I don't know.
No one does.
I was just
no,
thinking,
hey, Lynn, but... that's the team I was on a minute ago, and then I got off that bus, but I think I'm back with Lynn now. So thank you for the call, Lynn.
Okay, no problem.
Have a good day. The list of universally loved Chicagoans started out with Tom Skilling. We quickly added Lou Manfredini. Then Sister Jean got on that team. Orion Samuelson. Dave Ennett, Bozo, Rich Melman. The Menards guy. We're borrowing him. A couple of you have just texted in Dick Portillo. I don't know the Portillos. I know they're insanely wealthy for people that invented Italian beef and hot dogs, but there you go. I love their salads. I don't know them. Love their food. Chance the Rapper. I would put him on that list. Ernie Banks, thank you for that. Eddie O. Boy, we all discovered, not that we needed a reminder, but it sure did come front to center how much Eddie O is loved in the last year or so. Roger Ebert, Fraser Thomas, Jonathan Taves, and Reverend Jackson, all recent texts. Remember, one person's beloved is not always another person's. It's 10:27 on WGN, so Steve will do the news in a minute, and then how do you borrow money for school? Lord, does this have lasting consequences coming up. So Sam sent us the list, and it just migrated away from my page. Hold on, I got to dial them
so
in.
So these
here.
Are the odds on the Democratic presidential nominee should Joe Biden win the nomination.
And the odds are, and this is according to Odds Shark, but this is people putting their money down. This is actual money being wagered.
Overseas somewhere? Or,
yeah, right.
Okay.
Odds for who Joe Biden will choose to be his vice presidential running mate. Michelle Obama, if you spend $100, you make $1,800. So not likely.
Right.
Mayor Pete, spend $100, make $750. Still not very likely. Elizabeth Warren, plus $525. Abrams, plus
$325. That's so interesting to me.
Harris, Kamala Harris,
yeah.
Plus 300.
Okay.
The best bet right now for the people taking action on this.
Don't say Amy Klobuchar.
Amy Klobuchar.
Wow.
Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota, plus 220. You know, the Mincing Rascals, our weekly podcast, we posted it yesterday, last night, kind of kicked this around, and some of the brains in the room were saying that Joe Biden should find somebody of color. Or a female, or maybe a female of color. Abrams would accomplish that. Kamala Harris would, too. I think he has great appeal with people of color. Joe Biden does. I don't know if you just went optics politically. I don't know that he has to find an African-American, say. He's quite sympathetic to African-Americans. Now, females, I don't know.
Yeah, but you don't want to be seen as taking any group advantage or taking for granted, I should say.
Yeah, right.
The Stacey Abrams thing is just interesting because I know she's very talented and gifted and all of that, but she doesn't have a lot of government experience.
No.
And, you know, if Joe Biden is going to be 80, I don't know that she's the person you want to say is going to be ready to step into the job. I think she's kind of a darling of the chattering class, but I don't know if that translates. I mean, she almost won a race.
3-2-1. I know. You got that going for you. So 3-2-1 is Abrams, Kamala Harris, remember her.
Yeah.
And then the Minnesota Senator, Amy Klobuchar. Okay, just thank you for that, Sam Panayanovich. It's 10:35 on WGN. Okay, so have you borrowed money for college? You hear us do those commercials. I'm interested in what if you're thinking about borrowing money for college today. Ray Kaplan of Kaplan Law Firm's in our studio. Hi, Ray. Welcome back.
Thank you.
You okay?
I'm okay. I'm still just getting over this cold, but I'm okay.
And I've got a little bit of a sniffle now, too. And I think any of us that have a sniffle or just feel a modicum of indigestion these days, you almost think, oh, crap. Oh, not now. Not me. No. And then you almost want to assure people, it's not the virus. I've just got a little sniffle right now. I'm fine.
I actually did do that when I was in Starbucks the other day. I was ordering, and halfway through my order, I lost my voice, and everyone looked at me with, you know, big scared eyes.
Oh,
and I said,
run!
No, I have no fever. It's just a chest cold, really.
I see a cold sweat. She's got a backache. Run.
I thought they were going to quarantine me.
No kidding. So you're good. Thanks for coming in.
Sure.
You told me a story off the air. Let's tell this first, and then we'll get to the heart of this.
Right.
Somebody came in. They heard about you on our radio station.
Yeah, one of our listeners.
What was their debt?
$300,000 in federal Parent PLUS loans, putting two kids through school. And when we examined their situation, they were being told all kinds of incorrect information from the servicer, and they were paying about $2,000 a month, and it was really breaking them. They just weren't able to do it anymore, and they came in thinking that there were going to be pretty much no options.
Who has $2,000 a month?
Right.
That's net. In order to get $2,000 to spend, you have to earn $3,000 a month or
right.
something like that. So that's $36,000 of the year out the window,
right.
just servicing the debt.
That's right. And they were pretty much at the end of their rope and just hoping. They heard us on the air and they thought, all right, well, we might as well just go and see if there's anything that she can do. And it was great. I love these kinds of cases because really what we were able to do is because they were federal Parent PLUS loans and the borrower happened to be a full-time teacher in one of our public schools, they were eligible for, instead of a $2,000 payment plan, a $600 monthly payment plan for 120 months. And then the balance is going to be forgiven after 120 months, which is 10 years. So she was going to get over $450,000 in public sector loan forgiveness, and we got her payment down to $600 per month. So basically, she's going to end up paying about $77,000 back on that $200,000 loan or $300,000 loan.
But that does say something about interest payments, doesn't it? So that's a $300,000 loan. And with the forgiveness, she's going to not pay $400,000.
Right.
I mean, and that's the forgiven part. She still will have paid some.
Right.
But it's forgiving $400,000 because of the interest rate on the loan. What was the interest rate on their loan?
So it was 7.2%, but the way it's calculated is it's kind of amortized, and they also factor in 2% wage growth every year. So it's basically within this framework of this income-driven payment plan that the statute or that the law has set up. So, you know, sometimes people are a little bit hesitant to take advantage of this because they almost feel like, oh, geez, is it too good to be true? Am I doing something wrong? But it's the law. It's the law that applies to your federal student loans. And there was a reason that the incentive that Congress had in mind was if you're going to go into public sector to work in the public sector, we're going to reward you. And the way we're going to reward you is that you have the ability to take out these federal Parent PLUS loans, and then you're going to pay something back, but you're going to get forgiveness after 120 payments. And the way it worked out for her was fantastic.
So minimize your payments for 10 years.
Right.
Make all your payments for 10 years.
Right, on time.
And then whatever you're still due is forgiven.
Exactly.
And the payment goes down each month as a result. Instead of $2,000, it's $600.
Right.
If my son or daughter is going to go to school soon, should I borrow the money?
Yes. And so this is the thing that we see all the time is that people don't have a plan. They panic and they're not sure, you know, how they're going to finance their kids having to go to college. And then what happens is your kid goes in, you fill out the FAFSA, your kid goes into the financial aid office. They tell them, well, you're only eligible for $5,000. Our tuition's $30,000. So how are you going to fill that $25,000 per year? And then the parents will go out and take out a private loan, hundreds of thousands of dollars in private loans. And then we're in some trouble because there's not a lot of flexibility with those private loans. So what you can do instead is do not take out private loans for the parents that need to come up with the money that their kids, you know, are not able to get in federal student loans. You can borrow studentaid.gov, federal parent plus loans, and there's no cap on what you can take out.
Okay, but you just skipped a step. So we have not saved enough money for the kid to go to school. We need some money. Should we borrow it in the student's name? Should the student borrow the money or should the adults borrow the money?
Both. So the student is going to be eligible. Well, the student first will see what they're eligible for. You know, it depends on what you as the parents make. If you make over $80,000, probably the kid is not going to qualify for that much in terms of their as the student borrower, they probably won't qualify for that much. But it doesn't matter because whatever they don't qualify for, the parents can make up for by getting federal parent plus loans.
Okay, but you're not so impressed with that question. I thought that was really critical to borrow the money, have the kid borrow the money because they don't have any savings. They don't have any equity. So that their values, they seem so poor mm-hmm. that they'll be able to borrow the most at the most favorable rates. That's not true?
No, that's not true. The way it works is that FAFSA, what happens is the kid has to fill out FAFSA with the parents' information in there, the adjusted gross income, and they get all of the family's information in terms of assets and income. And then there's a formula that's applied to determine the estimated rate of contribution. So what they think that the parents are going to contribute to the kid's education. And then on that basis, they determine what the student borrower is eligible for, and it's usually not enough to cover tuition.
So if the student's borrowing money, the parents' resources are sort of factored in.
Yes.
It's almost like the kid had those sorts of resources, because in a way they do.
Right.
Okay.
Unless they're 24 or older.
And then what happens?
So then they're considered an independent.
Now they're on their own.
They're on their own.
Okay, and if so they're then over the parents... age of 24, then they should apply first.
Right.
They should be the first borrower.
Right.
Not a small detail.
Yeah.
Okay, it's 1042. So now the adults are going to borrow some money. Which adult from whom? Ray Kaplan from Kaplan Law Firm is in our studio. Her website is financialrelief.com. Her phone number is 312-294-8989.
Right.
If you've got questions or comments we can't address here, Ray, we're talking about how to borrow for college. So you said it's not so critical if the kid fills out the form or the parents do. The parents' resources are reflected on the child's application. So mm-hmm. that's not such a critical point. Unless the child's over 24, then they're considered financially emancipated, even if they're not.
Right.
And then they would apply first themselves.
Right.
Now the parents are going to borrow some money on behalf of the kid.
Right.
Does it matter?
So, yes, it does. Whoever, and this is kind of counterintuitive, but I'll explain the reason for it. Whoever between the mom and dad is making less money, the person earning less money should be the parent plus loan borrower.
Even though that makes it sound like they have the least ability to repay the loan.
Right. But the reason for that is that the framework within the law says that we can base the payment on the borrower's income, not both people's income. It can be just the borrower's income. So if you have mom making $25,000 a year and dad makes $50,000 a year, mom should be the parent plus loan borrower. And it's really more credit-based. It's not income-based. So they're looking at your credit. So if you have something really bad on your credit, then you might not qualify for it. But basically, if you can qualify for a Capital One credit card, then you can qualify for a parent plus loan, a federal parent plus loan.
Is there a credit score that I should have, 600, 700, that matters?
It's not really a credit score. They're looking for things like if you have defaulted on credit card payments or if you have a previous Chapter 7 or a Chapter 13 within the past, I think it's 4 years. After that, they're okay to lend you the federal parent plus loans.
So the parent with the smallest amount of income borrows the money from whom?
And that's going to be the Department of Education. So you're going to go to studentaid.gov, and you can call our office, 312-294-8989. We can walk you through it, and we can do a consultation so that we can plan how it's going to look, who should take out the loans, because sometimes it also is reliant upon who's going to have the most income when you retire, because one person might be making more money right now, but when it's time to repay those loans, that person is actually going to have more income than the person who did not borrow. So we have to take that into consideration too.
Sure. So if maybe you're near retirement age,
right,
that's a factor to consider. But I'll back up a step then. So where we said the person with the smallest income should be the person that should borrow it.
Right.
It's really the person with the smallest income when you have to start repaying the loan.
Exactly.
Which might be the reverse of what it is right now.
Exactly.
312-981-7200. Let's see here. Where do we start? Mike, you're on WGN. What can we do for you, Mike? You're on the air.
Hey, good morning or good afternoon. I'm not sure. I'm in Indiana, right by the timeline here. But I had a question regarding the back end. Let's say now comes the 10 years and all the debt has been forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
And for example purposes, to use round numbers, let's say that's $100,000 worth of debt that was forgiven. How am I going to be taxed somehow on that $100,000 that's been forgiven?
What a great
on
question.
That federal loan?
Because that almost acts like income, doesn't
right.
it?
That's a great
correct.
Question. And if it's public sector loan forgiveness, so like that example I gave where the WGN listener is a public school teacher and we were going to get her qualified for public sector loan forgiveness of $400,000 in debt, she will not be taxed on that as income. They actually just changed the law on that in 2017, where it used to be a taxable event. So they would send it to a 1099 to the IRS, and you would be taxed on that
wow.
amount forgiven as income. And so that's a big tax hit. Even though it's not happening for 10 years or in the private sector for 20 or 25 years, still it's something you have to consider. So all public sector loan forgiveness is not taxed as income. But if the loans are forgiven and you're retired or you're in the private sector, it is still a taxable event.
It is?
Yes.
If you're in the private sector.
Right.
Well, do you get hit that 1 year? Say you've got $100,000 worth of debt forgiveness. Do you owe $30,000 on what would be $100,000?
Yeah, approximately.
Really?
So, yes. And so we actually had somebody recently where they were going to receive in 25 years over $1 million in loan forgiveness. And what we want to do is we want to avoid that tax hit. So there's a way to do that also where that involves tying in another loan for a reconsolidation to kind of start that clock over again.
Wow.
So there are ways that we can work within the framework of the statute to even avoid that tax hit. But that is something that we take into consideration. But public sector loan forgiveness, no, not a taxable event.
So is that key too, then, if you're going to go down this road of borrowing in the right order, borrowing it from the right people, is it critical that I work in the public sector?
It's not critical, but it's something that we go over with our clients to make sure that they understand, here's what it's going to look like, here's going to be if you're going to have a tax hit, and then here's what we can do about it if you are going to have a tax hit.
Thanks for the call, Mike. Good questions. As I think Michelle has one too. Michelle, you're on WGN. What can we do for you, Michelle?
Yes, hi. I have a question. So if you have multiple children, not necessarily twins in the same, you know, year starting college, but if you have a junior in college and now you're starting the whole process all over again with your second child or your third child or, you know, on down the line, you know, how do you then apply for a loan? Do the same parents apply for a second loan, or
do
you just add on to what you have already?
Okay, hold on. Good questions.
Right.
A lot of static there, but let's go.
Right. So, we want to take a look at who the borrower is going to be. So I'm assuming that you're going to be the borrower or whoever, you know, in your household is making the least amount of money, who's a parent guardian. And each year you're going to take out federal Parent PLUS loans for each child. And then you're also probably going to want to check that you want in-school deferment. But the answer to your question in short is yes. Every year you apply for those federal Parent PLUS loans for whatever it is, whatever the amount is that you need for each child. And then pretty much at the end, when everybody's graduated, we need to take a look at how we're going to structure it so that the payment's as low as possible and you get whatever forgiveness you're eligible
but
for.
But if I have 10 kids, I might have 10 loans working, each
yes.
of them in my name.
Right.
And Okay. There's no limit to the amount of money under those circumstances, parents?
No limit.
Yeah. Nope. I mean, hey, parents, there ought to be. I mean, don't borrow money that you don't think you...
Right. Don't willy-nilly. Just
I don't want to encourage anybody to borrow money that they don't think, even under this kind of a program, they couldn't pay back. John, we've been paying on our daughter's student loan for a master's degree for several years, as her income is not sufficient to pay off her loan. She now has a child and is not employed at all. We would like to not pay, but if her husband's income is considered, we probably will have to. Is that true? What are the options?
Those guys should give us a call because we need to analyze those loans. First of all, see who's the borrower. If it's the daughter's loan and their federal loans, she's eligible for a $0 monthly payment plan that will keep her current and in good standing because she's not working. She's got no income. $0 monthly payment plan is perfectly acceptable under the law. But if they're private loans, then we should take a look at maybe debt settlements.
We keep saying public and private in these conversations. Public is who you want to borrow from first. That is the federal government.
Right. That's federal loans.
But then you also have the best chance. It's also beneficial if then you work in the public sector as
right.
opposed to the private sector.
Right.
But if I have one of those federal student loans and I work in the private sector.
Still good.
So it's most critical what? That you at least borrow from the federal government first.
Yes, that is the most critical take home message. Borrow from the Department of Education, federal student loans, Department of Education. That's the lender, studentaid.gov. And if you want to call us and we can walk you through it, that's fine.
If I work for a school district but not as a teacher, would I qualify for the forgiveness program?
Yes, even if you work for the school district as a receptionist, a janitor, whatever it is, as long as you're full-time, you'll qualify.
Full-time?
Yes.
Who makes up for the lost money not being repaid?
You know, in many, most cases that I see, we're talking about a fraction of the people who actually borrow money. Most cases I see, people pay back not only what they borrowed, but more than what they borrowed. So the Department of Ed isn't losing money on these loans. They're making money on these loans because the interest starts to accrue right away as soon as you take them out. So the Department of Ed is not losing any money on federal student loans.
Well, if somebody's not paying $100,000 at the end of 10 years, the interest owed, then that's $100,000 somebody's not getting, right?
That's right. They're not getting money that they were owed, but many times they got back what the borrower took out and some interest.
And some back.
Right.
Not as much.
Not as much.
Francesca, you're on WGN. What was your question?
Excellent. So my husband and I both, we have a 529 plan for two of our kids. Mm-hmm. And so which means if they go to a state school, tuition is covered regardless of what Illinois state school they go to. Tuition is covered. And our concern is that because we have this now, when we fill out that FAFSA, that is going to affect how much aid we will be able to get for our kids, correct?
Correct. It's going to affect how much the student borrower is going to be eligible for in terms of federal student loans. But it will not affect your ability to take out federal Parent PLUS loans if you need to.
Okay, so that was my next question was, I have a part-time job. Let's say I make maybe $10,000 a year. Mm-hmm. With me just being part-time, can I still apply for that federal
yes.
Parent PLUS loan?
Yes.
And that would obviously take care, obviously $10,000 is going to be lower than my husband's. So then I can have that loan in my name only.
Exactly.
Which would obviously lower my payment. Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, what a detail that is so critical.
It's really important because many times we see the opposite happening because it is intuitive where
absolutely.
Whoever's making the most amount of money figures, all right, I'll be the borrower. But the problem is that the payments then are calculated on that person's income and they pay way
Time's
too much.
Up, Francesca.
Regardless of what my husband makes, right?
Exactly.
Thank you for the call, Francesca.
Fantastic. Thank you.
You're
Thanks.
Welcome.
Your website is financialrelief.com.
Correct. Financialrelief.com.
Ray Kaplan, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Before we get to McHenry High School, are you guys going to watch the Hulu docuseries on the Clintons? It's really about Hillary, but if it's about Hillary, it's about Bill, too. And I'm a little intrigued, but...
Enough to get... Do you get Hulu?
I do not, so not enough to get Hulu. No, not enough to get Hulu. No, I don't need another service.
Same here, but I would watch it if I had Hulu.
I think I would if I would click on but I would be ready to be clicking off because I think I'm exhausted. I'm a little surprised that the Clintons, and it was Hillary, but the Clintons cooperated fully. I'm right. a little surprised they said yes.
Me too. I don't quite get what's going on here unless it's a big payoff, but I can't imagine they need the cash.
It started during the 2016 campaign when a documentarian approached Hillary and said, we want to follow the campaign and tell your story. And she said, sure. I mean, I could understand how you might say yes under those circumstances. And then the documentarian says, yeah, but my ambitions are broader. But that got the door open. And she says, if we do your campaign story, I need the backstory. And if I need the backstory, I need the whole story. And that includes Bill. And the Clintons, being the Clintons, said yes. Whew. In 2014 or 2015, knowing what they knew about everything that happened prior to that, even though they wanted to be president and needed that for 2016, I would have said no. I would have said no. It doesn't sound like this is an unfair treatment. It doesn't sound like they're unhappy about it. But I just wouldn't want to do that again. And I wouldn't want to deal with people saying, boy, there go the Clintons again, because there go the Clintons again.
I mean, before you know it, they're going to call another Benghazi hearing.
That's what I mean. Really, maybe you want to control the narrative, but do you want more exposure? I'm almost sure you don't.
You know, Bill was on, did you see Washington?
No.
The document, yeah, it's really good. It's a three-part series on Netflix, so I've been watching it, and he's one of the narrators on it, Bill, and I'm like, he's looking really, really old. All of a sudden, it's just like, wow. I was shocked, actually, when I saw him. Because I guess we haven't seen him that much. We've seen Hillary a lot. You know, she's been on shows and, you know.
Maybe it's because he's older and he looks older. But one of those people I've thought looked better when he was a little heavier.
Yes, I totally agree. Totally agree. He just is not aging that well. I don't know if, you know, I'm sure he's healthy, but man.
Well, he's 70, right?
He looks
73.
Older.
73.
Looks a lot older.
So he said, now they're going to go down this path. So they're going to ask him about Monica Lewinsky. And he said that it helped him manage his anxieties. The first sentence in the New York Post story is, he's never heard of Prozac? The New York Times story starts this way. Former President Bill Clinton, recalling the sex scandal that led to his impeachment in 1998, says in a new documentary series that his extramarital affair with Monica Lewinsky was a way of managing my anxieties. The four-part docuseries Hillary, which was released today, Friday, on Hulu, focuses on Hillary Clinton's life, her marriage to Mr. Clinton, and her unsuccessful campaign for president in 2016. In the series, Bill Clinton, 73, is asked by the director, Nanette Burstein, why he engaged in an affair with Ms. Lewinsky, then a White House intern, and whether he weighed the risks. His answer was, quote, nobody sits down and thinks, I think I'll take a really irresponsible risk. Mr. Clinton says, it's bad for my family, it's bad for my country, bad for the people who work with me. Mr. Clinton says that he was under enormous pressure, but that his actions were inexcusable. You feel like you're staggering around. You've been in a 15-round prize fight that was extended to 30 rounds. And here's something that'll take your mind off of it for a while. Mr. Clinton says, everybody's life has pressures and disappointments and terrors, fears of whatever things I did to manage my anxieties for years. Mr. Clinton's explanation drew derisive reactions on Twitter. You think? It's his story. It's his truth or his version of it or his belief in it. But how is the answer not, I was a man of and still am enormous appetites. It was a selfish act and I didn't care who it hurt. And I knew it would hurt people. But I was a man and still am of enormous appetites. And I sate them any way I want. Who cares?
Or how about this? Hillary said I'd do this.
Yeah, wait, you're here, why?
Wait.
Are we getting paid for this?
Has this been vetted?
He looks off camera. Wait, what? Sideways glance to the associate. The House impeached Mr. Clinton on charges that he lied to a grand jury about the affair. Not because he had an affair. Not because... Damn it, Bill. You got impeached not because you had an affair, but because you lied about having an affair, you dope. Anyway. So, that's a documentary series that's out about the Clintons. It's called Hillary. It's on Hulu. And I want to mention one other thing. He does state also, let me just see if I see this. Yeah, here's more from the New York Post. I think I'm reading now, yeah. He said, he describes how he told Hillary the news. I went and sat on the bed and talked to her. I told her exactly what happened, when it happened. He says in the documentary, I said I feel terrible about it. I have no defenses. It is inexcusable what I did. Hillary says, I was so, you know, personally hurt. It's just, anyway, it was horrible. Justifiably, Bill Clinton says, what I did was wrong. I hated to hurt her, but we all bring our baggage to life, and sometimes we do things we should not do, and it was awful what I did. I feel terrible, Bill Clinton says, about the fact that Monica Lewinsky's life was defined by it, unfairly, I think. Over the years, I've watched her try to get normal life again. Yeah, what he did to her was criminal, says me. Okay, now on to this second story. By the way, the bright side comes your way. Hold on, I got to get this sheet of paper. We'll do our Bright Side Love Life segment where you call and tell us some good news in your world. We'll do that at 11:40. Here it is, Olive. Thanks. So this is from the Northwest Herald. You know, we talked about that John Wu, Coach Wu, from McHenry High School during a Huntley School District 158 meeting they had Thursday night. They say that there was hundreds of people there, more than 100 people, many of whom were wearing red shirts with hashtag Save Coach Wu emblazoned on them, packed the District 158 boardroom to support Wu after his controversial departure from the district that occurred shortly after he prevented an altercation between a couple of students. Wu was cited with an ordinance violation of battery / causing bodily harm. It's a petty offense. And he's got a plea hearing set for 1:30 March 23rd at McHenry County Courthouse. A fight is brewing. He sees some kids chanting, fight, fight, fight. He grabs those two kids and marches them out of the cafeteria. In the process, one of the kids trips and gets choked, if you will, by his hoodie that he is wearing. An administrator says, hey, go easy on the kid. He continues to walk the kid out. That's the version of the story that we all know. But because he touched that kid, and he, quote-unquote, choked that kid, he knew that he was probably going to get fired. And he doesn't want a firing for an offense like that on his record. He's a coach. So he quits his job. Now it's technically just he resigned his position. That's better for him down the road. He doesn't want to quit. And he has this hearing in court as well, because technically that's battery on Earth today in the year 2020. If it is that, if that's what it was, I think the world's cuckoo and upside down. When I get to be king, he gets his job back. And when I get to be king, 100 people also said he gets his job back. So they had a board meeting last night, and the story in the Tribune does not say what his status is. They just talk about the fact that people were there rooting for him. He's got a court date. And it sounds like the board hasn't made up its mind about will they reinstate him. He's resigned his position. So if you know more about that than I do today, I'd like to hear about it. But Lord, we took a lot of calls from you yesterday. And many of you, this doesn't happen that often, are with me. You think this story is nuts. Steve, you heard Ray Kaplan on with us a little while ago, the attorney that's a frequent guest.
Yeah, the magic worker.
Sponsor here. She's the lady that talks about college debt. But today she talked about how to borrow for college, so you minimize the debt, how to borrow for college. And several of you texted in and said, well, you all have heard Terry Savage on WGN's Business Lunch, and Terry's not a big fan of the Parent Plus loans that Ray was advocating. So now Ray just texted me and said, well, here's the skinny on that. What she says in response to what they said is very interesting. Steve, we were talking about Coach Wu as well a little while ago, and I said that he was at Huntley High School and also at McHenry High School. He can't be at both. That was a Huntley High School meeting last night, and I still don't know. Maybe it's just not known what the ultimate outcome for that teacher is going to be, coach / security aide, but we'll continue to follow it here from Huntley High School. Thanks for the note on that, gang. Some of you helped me out with that. Somebody said about that, John, several years ago, I worked as a cafeteria playground supervisor. There's a group of kids rushing into the cafeteria, and I put my arm straight out to my side while telling the kids, fourth graders, fifth graders, to stop. She held her hand out like a stop sign.
and the girls ran into my arm. One girl goes home and tells the mom that I hit her. Thankfully, once getting my side of it, it did not escalate into something bigger. But that was several years ago. These days, you cannot touch the kids. You cannot touch the kids. Ray Kaplan texted us after hearing. So Ray was on the show, and she was talking about debt forgiveness, student loans, how to borrow money. And then some of you said, well, the Terry Savage, who you hear frequently on this radio station, I'm not getting between them. I'm just telling you, here's the point and counterpoint on this. Terry Savage says that she doesn't like those Parent PLUS loans. Ray Kaplan texted back and said, I just looked up Terry Savage's advice on federal loans. And she says very few people qualify for public sector loan forgiveness. Well, that's what we are here for, says Ray Kaplan. It's all about being in compliance with the statute, recertification yearly, and employment verification. People miss one step and they do get turned down, but that's easy to prevent. She then talked about refinancing your federal student loans and turning them into private loans. And that's a huge mistake, says Ray Kaplan, 95% of the time. You would then lose all of the flexibility of the statute and options for forgiveness and essentially turn it into a huge credit card with inflexible terms and rates. So ABA on that today here on WGN. Thanks, Ray, for the text. It's 11:35. Bright Side of Life segment coming your way in a little bit. I want you to tell us why you are smiling. What's the good news in your world? That's what we call the bright side. We're also asking you to text us today and tell us who is it that you would add to the list of universally liked, universally appealing people. I follow somebody on Twitter and on the news that Alex Trebek is 1 year into his survival. I mean, it's been a year now that he announced that he has cancer. 1 year, so that anniversary came up, and he talked a little bit about it, and people have been commenting on it. And somebody said, who's more universally liked? Will we ever have somebody as universally liked as Alex Trebek, who I think he's a great guy, and I understand his appeal, but he's always struck me as kind of distant, kind of cool, never an emotion. I'm surprised how much he has connected with people over the years, because he's not effervescent. Maybe it's because of the show he's in. I think it's also just his personality. You wish him well, but boy, people you find out really do love him and are really rooting for him, of course. And then somebody else said, well, Dolly Parton. Who doesn't like Dolly Parton? Even if you don't like Dolly's music, you got to admit, nobody doesn't like Dolly Parton. She's Dolly Parton. And so then people started saying, well, if you did that for Chicago, who would it be? Tom Skilling comes to mind right away, recovering nicely from his surgery. All best wishes go Tom's way. Tom always sends best wishes to you. I put Lou Manfredini on that list right away. Then somebody else said, Sister Jean, hello. Orion Samuelson. I haven't met a person that doesn't love and revere Big O. Dave Ennett has never said a crossword about anybody. Everybody likes a Dave Ennett. Bozo's on this list. I don't know if we should include people who have passed away, what the terms of engagement are here, but Ernie Banks pops up. Chance the Rapper is still alive and well. And Chance's, have you ever seen Chance and not smiled? Have you ever seen Chance the Rapper and not marveled at his ease and his talent? Even when he was saying, he was getting a little political about a year ago when he was talking about funding for the schools in Chicago, and he was kind of talking about the way we run this city and state. But I get that. That's a good one to add to the list. Ron Santo, Harry Carey. Who didn't love Harry Carey? I mean, even if you were a Cubs fan and he was the Sox announcer, or he was the Cubs fan and he announced for both teams, I think both fan bases always understood the appeal of Harry Carey. Reverend Jackson, not so much, but he's on the list for some of you. Jonathan Taves, I don't know anybody that doesn't know, love, and respect Jonathan Taves. Vic, you're on WGN. What did you want to say? Hi, Vic.
How could you not remember Mr. Rogers? He's got to be on that list.
He is, right away. You know, I would put him, like, if you had your final four, living or deceased, you could have Mr. Rogers. I would put Tom Hanks there. And you can put Dolly Parton or anybody else you want, but those two would have to be in the tournament for sure.
For sure, I agree with you, but I'm not saying where he should be and what number up and down the line, but he definitely should be remembered because he's universally loved.
Amen to that, sir. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Yep. Have a good day. Have a good day. 1140 on WGN. 312-981-7200 is the phone number to call or text. We're about to do our bright side, so now it's time to get in line for that. Lauren Lapka is over in Traffic Central. She always helps us on Fridays with this. You going to help us again, Lauren?
I don't plan on changing it anytime soon, so yes.
You don't plan on changing it anytime soon?
That I help you by reading the texts.
Ah, yeah, I thought maybe that was a reference to the time change coming up.
Oh, well, that I can't help.
Poor Dave Ennett. Dave Ennett gets up at 3:20 in the morning. Monday, he's getting up at the equivalent of 2:20 in the morning. I was feeling bad because I usually get up at 6:03 is when my alarm is set. And now Monday, it's going to be 5:03. You love it in the fall, but you hate it in the spring. But wow, 2:30 in the morning, that's going to sting. The Joint Relief Institute knows your knees sting sometimes, and they just don't have to. Now that the weather is starting to get a little bit better, you want to go for more walks. You want to play golf or tennis. You want to play bocce ball or pickle. But you can't because your knee hurts. I want you to go to that Joint Relief Institute and get some relief so you can better enjoy these days. The Joint Relief Institute uses digital imaging. They've got a machine there that sees right into your knee. I don't know exactly what it is or how it works, but doggone it. You can see the joints. They sure do. And you can look if you like. And then you'll see where the tissue's deteriorated. They put a lubricant into the exact spot where the tissue's deteriorated. Other people do something like this, but this is all they do. And they take great pride in being so exact about the science. They've got a new lubricant just to prove, too, that they're really excited about. They think it'll give you more lasting relief still. Now, they've got two locations in Orland Park and Oak Brook. It's a pain-free, fast, non-surgical procedure. And it's the same phone number for either location, 708-888-0000. JointReliefInstitute.com or call 708-888-0000 as in zero pain. Peanut Tillman and Anthony Rizzo, John, add those to your list of universally liked Chicagoans. Peanut Tillman's a good man. Anthony Rizzo is, too. How about Oprah, said a few of you. Yeah, I get that. I mean, I'm an Oprah fan, but I know some people who are much loved are also disliked. Barack Obama will tell you all about that. But who doesn't like Orion Samuelson? Are your ears just burning over there, O?
Yeah, they are, because I'm working on a historical column right now for my weekly newspaper column, and I heard you mention my name, and right away I had to find out what are the terrible things you're saying about me.
You walked away, heard your name, guess what? Well, so now you're caught up to speed. We were just talking about people love, you know, Tom Hanks, Dolly Parton, they love Alex Trebek, but if you started to make a local version of that, who doesn't love them some Orion Samuelson, you know?
Well, I appreciate that because September I will celebrate my 60th year on the air at WGN, and I don't think anybody has done that before.
60th year at one radio station here in these right. United States. And then how many years of broadcasting will that be, O?
Well, it started in 1952, and I can't do arithmetic that fast, but...
I can't, hold on. 48 plus 20, that'd be 68. That'd be 69 starting in September. 69 years of broadcasting.
Started in Sparta, Wisconsin, moved to Appleton and then Green Bay, and in 1960 came to Chicago. Never thought I'd be here that long.
Is your book still for sale, O?
Still for sale, yes. I think it's on Amazon, and it's entitled You Can't Dream Big Enough. Because the historical item I'm writing today answers a question that young people in agriculture often ask of me, what is the biggest change in technology you have seen in your lifetime? I have a quick answer. Not only the answer, but the date. April 11th, 1947. That's the day that electricity came to the Samuelson farm.
Okay. Well, boy, that is pretty profound because you're inclined to say the laptop computer or the smartphone, but
right.
None of that happens without electricity.
That's what I told my grandkids all the while they were growing up. Yeah, without electricity, that wouldn't happen. We wouldn't have cell phones because we only had a party line phone hanging on the wall. The ring was three longs and two shorts, and then we knew it was us. But that was our communication, and no daily paper, anything like that. So
we were having a conversation. I'm younger than you. We were having a conversation like this, though, with my kids the other day, because I was, Brenda and I were telling them about what it was like before you had a laptop, before you had a smartphone, you know, how cool it was to have a VCR, and you would put a tape in there, and you could watch any movie you wanted at any time, VHS or Beta, and how remarkable that was. And, you know, they don't even know what I'm talking about. That technology has come and gone. I wasn't there for electricity. So imagine telling your kids, well, the reason you didn't have a computer was because we didn't have electricity to charge it, for crying
absolutely.
Out loud.
Absolutely, and we didn't have a refrigerator. My mother didn't have an electric iron. She had to put irons on the wood cook stove to heat them, and then she'd do the ironing. And we had to put perishables into a basket at the end of a 30-foot rope and hang it in the water cistern above the water to keep it from spoiling and to keep it cool.
Well, so what's amazing about you, Orion, and I'm going to throw my dad in this as well, is that so you're a man of that age who is still participating in such modern technology. Not many people can have had a life that spans that much, right? From electricity to the farm to a smartphone, and you can watch videos in your hand, right?
Right.
And to be in the game. Like, maybe you lived during that period, but are you still doing it? Orion, my mom is, she fell recently. She hurt her elbow. She's been in a rehabilitative place to try and get that back. And my dad went to visit her today. My dad, who is 92 years old, FaceTimed me. I'm sitting there in my office getting ready for the show, and bring, 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 it's my dad, and he's FaceTiming me. And then I pick up the phone, and I say, hey, Dad, and he says, yeah, hey, your mom wants to say hi. Hi, Mom, hi. And I'm thinking, this man is 92. You know, he remembers black and white TV coming into the world, let alone being able to operate a phone and FaceTime, but he was. I think that's just a nod to both of you. It's remarkable.
Well, it is when we look back at what was done. You know, my first airplane ride was in 1956. I flew from Appleton, Wisconsin to Chicago. And that was my first airplane ride in a commercial airplane. And, of course, since then, I've been lucky enough to do a lot of traveling in Air Orion and still doing it, but not quite as fast as I used to do it.
It's good to hear your voice, my friend. We're going to do our bright side. I'm going to ask you to do the first one today, okay?
Okay.
You know how this works. People call in. They tell us some good news in their world. We do it on Fridays, and I can't think of a better person to do it with than the Big O. So here we go.
Some things in life are bad.
You ready, Lapka?
They can really make you mad.
I've been waiting all week.
Just make you swear.
Haven't we? If ever we needed a bright side,
when you're chewing on life,
this is another week we could do that.
Grumble.
Call 312-981-7200. Hey, Olaf. Yeah.
Yeah.
All together now.
Always look on the bright side of life.
So Fridays, you call in, tell us something good in your world. Orion, what's making you smile today, sir?
Well, the fact that I'm still able to maneuver and get around and do the things that I enjoy doing, and I have a lot of friends who join me in doing those fun things. Max Armstrong and the other people that have worked with me at WGN. You know, I go back to Franklin McCormick and Pierre Andre at WGN, to Vince Lloyd and Lou Boudreau, and you name it. And I'm just feeling so good and blessed that I've had that opportunity this long.
Well put, Big O. How about you, Lauren Lapka? What's your bright side? Why are you smiling?
That's hard to top, but I guess he's kind of changed my bright side. My bright side is I'm very fortunate at my age to work for such a historic radio station, which with such amazing talent that has been here for so long.
Yeah, let's not take that for granted. So cheers to that. Steve Bertrand, what's your bright side?
63 degrees on a Sunday.
How about that? My bright side was going to be college basketball this weekend. It's really getting fun. But then Orion made us think grander and bigger thoughts. How about you? 312-981-7200. My friend Bill Murdoch is giving a tour to some people, and one lady just walked into the studio during the Bright Side. Sally, up to that microphone. What's your name?
Melody.
Melody, what's your deal? Why are you here?
I'm here to see this WGN studio.
You're on a tour, aren't you?
Yes.
What's your Bright Side, Melody?
Getting to meet you today.
Oh my gosh! Broadcast host. Who is your friend over there? What is your name?
My name is Joe Addy.
Hi, Joe Addy. Welcome to the studio. What's your Bright Side, and it can't be me?
Well, actually, I'm kind of excited to see the studios my husband helped Bill Murdoch build here.
Aren't they lovely?
Yes. So we finally got a chance to bring our dear friend Melody down here so she could tour and see the station she listens to avidly every day. For life is quite
absurd. Nice to meet you both. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
We'll take some calls, too. We're starting with Gus. You're on WGN. Why are you smiling today, Gus?
Hi, John. Our daughter-in-law is down in Indianapolis getting ready to deliver for our fifth grandchild.
Oh.
And their parents, both my daughter-in-law and my son are Butler grads.
Oh, hooray. Yeah, boy, this is a big weekend for us. We want to keep winning games and do well in the Big East tournament. We never do well in the Big East tournament, do we, Gus?
Not so far.
Congrats. Thanks for the call. Let's talk to, I don't know who's next. John on line four, you're on WGN. What's your Bright Side, John? You're on the air.
Hi, I'm calling to tell everybody my mother is celebrating her 104th birthday next week.
Wow. What's her name?
Her name is Irene. She's doing pretty well. Short-term memory's not so good, but other than that, she's doing real well.
Thanks for the call, John. Happy birthday, Irene. And this is kind of different. Let's talk to Nick. You're on WGN online. Let's see here. Nick is on line seven. Hey, Nick, you're on WGN. What's your Bright Side?
Hey, John. Won my first poker tournament last night. Been grinding for 6 months. Eighth king, baby.
How much money did you win when you win a poker tournament?
I won $1,600 at Hammond. Entered for $100. I stopped playing when I was 20. Just got back into it. Been learning, been working hard. Just to learn from those older than me, and finally took one down.
Atta boy. All right, Lafco, what are you reading?
Well, 630 says that their Bright Side is they just bought tickets to Disney World, which is interesting because 847 says they just got back from having a family vacation in Disney World. And the best part was having all the family together, kids and grandkids.
Hey, Phil, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Phil? You're on the air.
I'm going to Vito and Nick tonight with my 2-year-old grandson. First time he's going there.
This is your favorite pizza joint, is it?
Absolutely.
What's the name of the place again?
Vito and Nick's on the south side in Pulaski, 83rd and Pulaski.
Best to y'all, Phil. Thanks for the phone call. Keep reading, Lauren Lapka.
So 815 says their Bright Side is 2 weeks ago they adopted a King Charles Spaniel. He spent the first 6 years of his life in a cage, and now he's living like a beloved family member. You must always
face the cut. Hey, George, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling today, George?
Hey, John, after 6 long weeks, I'm taking my dog to the groomers. He's going to smell so good. Some would always look on the
bright side of life. It's a really big bus, and we've got room for everybody. Hey, Jeff, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Jeff?
Morning, John. First-time caller, listening to you for years. We're celebrating my wife's birthday this weekend.
Attaboy. What are you going to do? Anything special?
Oh, we're going out to a restaurant and celebrating with the family.
Nice of you to call, Jeff. My best to you and your bride.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Something you
forgot. How about Lana on WGN? Lana, what's your Bright Side? You're on the air.
Hi, John. My Bright Side is my son, who's a junior at Ohio State, is coming home for the weekend for spring break, or for the week. I haven't seen him in 2 months. He's got an interview for an internship for the summer next week, so it's all looking good. Always look
on the bright side. Lauren Lapka, what are you reading?
708 says their Bright Side is their wife and them are headed to Motor City to see the Hawks play tonight. Awesome. Go Hawks.
Yeah, no kidding. How are the Hawks not our Bright Side?
Oh,
four in a
man,
row?
Yeah.
Four in a row. I caught the tail end of Weidemann's call last night. What a fun game. That's good news. Yeah. They could sneak in, right, Lauren? You know the team better than anybody
playoffs
around here.
The playoffs are still alive. The hopes are alive.
You know, really, winning all season long is boring. If this is the lot we have, let's make the most of it. How much more fun would it be to be in the playoffs and have a nice run? Anything could happen, right? Kathy, you're on WGN. What's your Bright Side, Kathy? You're on the air.
Hi, John. I just wanted to say my grandson, Nolan Frederick, was born.
Give me that name again.
Nolan Frederick.
I like that name. Nolan, is Frederick the middle name or the last name?
Frederick is the middle name. That's, after my dad.
It sounds so dignified, doesn't it? Nolan Frederick. Happy days to y'all. Thanks for the call, Kathy.
Thank you.
Bye. All right, we're wrapping it up, Lauren Lapke. You got another one for us?
Yes, I got the perfect one because it's the little things, John. 773 says their bright side is they're making banana bread.
By the way, a couple of you just saw your first robin. We always get that about this time of year. And so have a good weekend. Have a warm weekend. Some tough news this week. We're all going to get through it. When I get to be King G, they will not have to do fast-talking disclaimers at the end of commercials.
John Hansen actually today, and I'll pass that along to G.
Yeah, mention that to G, will you?
Let her know.
How are you, John?
Doing pretty well. In for G today and also on Monday. You know, there's a billion coronavirus stories out there, of course, but the one that kind of interests me in terms of a business sense are these big expos and things that get canceled. It's a lot of money down the drain, and it turns out there's insurance for that. So we're going to talk to someone about how these big companies and
I didn't even think about that.
Yes. So we're going to break down how that all works and plenty more coming up in the Winter's Business Lunch.
Well, that's good news, unless you're an insurance company.
Right.
But
yes.